Welcome back to Amud Yomi. Today we're continuing to learn Masechtas Megillah, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Yesterday in Shul we did Chav Vav Amud Beis, and we're going to pick up the pace a little this week so we can finish by Sunday. We ended up yesterday talking about the following, and of course we're learning the merit that our hostages should return home now. Our soldiers should be safe, Israel should be victorious and be able to withstand the external pressures that are unfortunately pressuring Israel to return to a pre-October 7th reality. When they don't realize things are never going to be the same, and Israel must stand for what it needs to stand for, says the Gemara. He says as follows: You can convert a shul into a base medrash. Shari is permitted. But from a base medrash to a base knesses is prohibited. Papa, the name of Rava, taught the opposite. And we yesterday we talked about the what each respective opinion is based off the Rav. The Rav wanted to say that you could say that a shul is more important because it's a mikdash ma'at, or a basim edrash, or a medrash is more important because it's the chiyav talmud Torah is constant. Amar Vacha says, Rav Acha, kavasei derav papi misdabra. Papi makes more sense. The Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, basic nez mudlas is basim edrash, because you can make a shul, a basic nesa, a basic medrash, shema we now learn from here. Dorish bar kappa, says Rav Kappa, my diksiv. The Yusuf was based Hashem. The Esbeis HaMelech was called Bat Yerushalayim was called Beis Yigadol Sarav Beish. The Pasuk tells us in Malachim, and he burned the house of Hashem, the king's house, and all the houses of Yerushalayim, and every great house did he burn with fire. Beis Hashem is the Beis HaMikdash. The house of God is the Beis HaMikdash. By the way, we said yesterday, the difference between a Mikdash Ma'at, a Shul, and a Beis HaMikdash is that the Beis HaMikdash is God's house. We're going to God's house, whereas a Beis HaMedrash, whereas a Beis HaKnesses, is our house. God's coming to our house, analogous to Shabbos being us entering God's, Shabbos being God entering our domain, and Yom Tov us going to God's domain, which is rather than in Simcha. Okay. Says the Gemara, Beis Hashem said Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMelech, Elu Paltiyon Shamelech. This refers to the king's palace. It's called Bat Yerushalayim, Kamashma, and the house of Yerushalayim are, meaning the house of Yerushalayim. It's called Beis Gadol Sarav Beish. Every great house did he burn with fire. What does it mean? Yochan Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Chadam or Makom Shemadilin Botorah. One says it's a place where they learn Torah. The Chadam or Makom Shemadilin Botorah. One says it's a place where they learn Tefillah. So we see it's actually Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rishu ben Levi. I guess which one's more important? Mandam or Torah. One who says Torah. Why? Save Hashem Chavetz Leman Sidko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. It says Hashem desires because of righteousness to increase Torah and strengthen it. Mandam or Tefillah. Dixiv Safra Na Hagadol Is Yerasa Elisha. Relate to me now the great things that Elisha has done. Elisha Devar Rachmi Huda, but Elisha, what did he do? He learned, he prayed. Okay. By the way, I don't want to get too sidetracked right now, but we gave a share. You can go on the podcast or Mayu Torah. You'll find we discussed the idea. The Rambam says, Avodish Belev, the Pug said Avodish Belev. He quotes, I believe it's a Sifri or Sifra that says, Aizu Avodish Belev. So we're familiar with the idea that Zeu Tzvila, the service to the heart is Tzvila. The Rambam quotes a Sifra. It says, Asu Tamat Torah is Tamat Torah. And we've given a share, which again you can find in Y Torah, that the Tefillah and Talmud Torah, they're both unique, and what they have in common is they're both about Amid Lifnei Hashem. They're both about standing before God. Tefillah, you know, is more obvious. You're standing before God, you're praying to Him. But Talmud Torah done right, you're learning in the presence of God. Or the Rav said, it's like you have your God, you know, whispering in your ear, the gentle presence of God resting on your shoulder. And he talks in very beautiful and poetic language about how Talmud Torah is an experience, a rendezvous with the divine. When you know, and that's something to aspire for. Okay. Tisayim, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who Domer, Malcolm Shmadil, Dar, it makes sense. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the one who says a place of Torah. Domer, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Beis Knesset Mudlas is Beis Medrash Shmamina. Because he's the one who says you can make a shul into a Beis Medrash, but not the other way around. Okay. Avamachar Torah, Loyi Klu Svarim. So the Mishnah says one who sells a Torah cannot buy other Svarim. Again, when we say Svarim here, we mean books of Tanakh on a scroll. Ibailhu. Can you sell an old Torah to buy a new Torah? Meaning, you would think it's the same sanctity, or you can say no. When it comes to the Torah, again, we mentioned yesterday, I think, and the day beforehand, that when you make a lateral kedusha move, seemingly is allowed, but it might not be allowed for a Torah, and we're going to discuss that now. Perhaps you could say selling the Torah would only be allowed to buy something of more sanctity, which we don't have, or what you pointed out yesterday, we do have. The only thing we do have that's more sanctified than a Torah is a human, which is why Pidyon Shvuyin is allowed. If you deem a captive is allowed, or selling it in order to help someone get married is allowed, because again, you're creating more Jews. But other than that, you can't sell Torah even for another Torah. came to Lamala Asur, Odilma came and delicked Lula a screening shot with them. Or perhaps you could say, since it doesn't demote the sanctity, it's permissible. Tashima, so we're gonna have a number of Tashimas to try to figure this out. Can you sell new Torah to buy an old can you sell an old Torah to buy a new Torah? This is very halachla ma'isa. And by the way, pay attention, because the Shulchan Aruch seemingly paskins and that you can't. Well, it's actually unclear. Because Yosef quotes two deyos, and he says at first you can't, and there are those who want to learn when he says you can't, that's just because of Shiyusa, which we're going to see soon, is the idea that we're afraid if you sell it, you might not buy a new one. But we're going to see the Shach and the Taz. They're not too excited about this. And they actually seemingly think that you can't do it, at least the Chathila. But I'm saying this right now because as you learn the Gemara, try to keep in mind how to learn the Gemara. Either you can learn it, you're allowed to, or you can learn you're not allowed to. It's not totally clear. Tashima. If you sell a Sefer Torah, you can't buy Svarim. The implication is, again, Svarim udalo, Hatar Besar, Shatradami. But to buy a Torah scroll would be allowed. So that's seemingly that all good and well. So no, Masis B'Yevet. Perhaps you could say our Mishnah is just talking about B'Yevet. Meaning after the fact, keep buying Len Lechachil. We're trying to know Lechachila, initially, can you sell a Torah to buy an old Torah to buy a new Torah? So that we can't learn from our Mishnah making an inference. Tashma, Golilin Sefer Torah by Pechos Chamashin. You can take the wraps of your Torah. You can wrap a Sefer Torah with the wrappings of a Chumash, which is again one of the five books. But Chumash by Techos Nevi Miksuvim, and a Chumash was one of the books of prophets and Ksuvim. I've learned Nevi Miksuvim by Techos Chumashim. You can't wrap Nevi Miksuvim with a wrapping of a Chumash, v'lo Chumashim with Techos Sefer Torah, nor a Chumash with the wrapping of a Torah. Tatani Mios. So, meaning the Bryce is saying as follows. You can wrap a Torah with the wrappings of a single Torah, meaning by Pechos Chumashin in. The wrappings of a Torah work, but Pechos Sefer Torah, lo. Whereas, but to wrap a Torah with the wrappings of another Torah is not allowed. Again, so what do we do here? We said that the reason why the Torah, the Bryce is telling us, you can only wrap with a Chumash, meaning you can weapon Kedusha, but doesn't say you can use another Torah to wrap this Torah, seemingly implies that you can't transfer Kedusha from one Torah to another. Ema Sefer, says the Gemara says no. Because look at the end of the Raisa. V'lo chumash v'techos sefer Torah. You can't wrap a single Torah with the Torah of a wrapping with Torah skull. A Torah with Torah shavur dummy. Meaning, he's saying you if you really want to read this carefully, so then maybe you can infer the other way around. You can't wrap a chumash with the Torah, but you can wrap a Torah with another Torah. So we can't learn. So you can't learn anything from here because it can go either way. So don't draw any conclusion when there's conflicting implications. Good. Hashma. So another Raisa. You can place a Torah upon one Torah. You put a Torah on a Chumash. So, meaning to say, what do we see from here? Since you can lay one Torah and have another Torah, clearly you can sell one Torah to purchase another Torah. So, Hanach Torah. No, placing it differently. For when it comes to placing, it's impossible sometimes to avoid it due to space. If a small iron kodesh, that's the only way to do it. So, it's basically what he's saying is it's bidyevet. So in the Gemara, I don't love this, but he says if it's not true, how can you ever roll up a Torah? Can you roll up a Torah? By definition, you have now you have one page, the rest are going to buy another page. It's not allowed. So since it's not, there's no other way, therefore you could do it, but you can't draw an inference to allow the permissibility of selling an old Torah for a new Torah. Tashima. A person cannot sell an old Torah in order to buy a new one. Oh, it's an alternate brisa. It's the clear, explicit brisa. You're not allowed to. So again, the Gemara is going to refute it. And again, this is why it's so complicated. His concern was negligence, that maybe you sell the old Torah and never end up buying a new one and end up with having no Sefer Torah. So the conclusion here seemingly is that if you're not going to have negligence, it would be allowed. Or maybe not. That's why I say it's a little complicated how to learn this, which is why the poskim are a little bit wavering on this. So he says, so then you say, ki kamerin could go into ksiv omenach l'afruki. When do we say that there is a legitimate reason to sell a Torah? Excuse me, when do we say it's legitimate to sell a Torah? Or this whole question, but when is it legitimate? So he says, when they already have the new one written, it's waiting to be purchased. But in our case, so in that case, is it allowed? Can you sell an old one for a new one? So again, if his concern is pshiyusa, so that would be if there's no Torah written yet. But let's say there is a Torah written, it's waiting to be purchased, and you need the funds. Can you sell the old one for the new one? My, that's our question. So not in the case of Shiusa, but in general, that's our question. Tashema, the Rav Yochanan, Bishum, Rav Meir, Ein Mokon Torah, you can't sell Sefer Torah, Ella, Limud Torah, Lisa Isha, except to learn more Torah, to support oneself in learning, or in order to get married. So we learn from here that selling a Torah for the purchase of another Torah is permissible. Why? Because it's increasing learning Torah. By the way, not in this list is Pidyon Shvuyin, and the I assume Tosfos points out. I think Rabbi Akiva Eger here. Yeah, Rabbi Akiva Eger says Lukan Bava Basra, and there Tosfos says Pidyon Shvuyin as well. So why is it not explicit? Because that's obvious. It's Kulach Nefesh. Okay, so Shmami Na Torah Torah Shat Redami. So we see from here to selling the Torah in order to buy another one is from a spoke to increasing Torah. So Dylan Shani Limuts. He says no. Maybe learning Torah is different. Maybe Liam Maisa. Because learning brings one to performance of mitzvot. Right? This echoes the debate. What's more important, learning Torah or doing mitzvot? The answer is learning Torah, because learning Torah brings one to do mitzvot. Now, maybe Lidei Maisa. But just to have a Torah, that's not enough, because it's not leading to mitzvot. Ishinami, Losoi Berar, Losheva Sitzira. To get married as well, because the Pasuk says, he did not create the world, a void he formed to be inhabited, which is why even after Puruvu is fulfilled, there's still a mitzvah to continue having children, that the having children is important, and therefore, that's it overrides Torah. Whereas we said yesterday, because, you know, the only thing more sanctified, with greater sanctity than a Torah, is a human, you know, which is imbued with the Neshama from God. And therefore, in order to increase that, so we say you can sell a Torah from it. Avatorah Torah Lo, but just to exchange one Torah for another one, maybe it's not permitted. So we don't know. And the Gemara basically ends here, and this is why it's so unclear what the halach is. It's in the Taz points out that to draw any conclusions when the Gemara never gives a conclusion, it might be erroneous. Okay, fine. Tana Rabbana. Lo Yimko Adam Sefer Torah. So now the Gemara is going to talk about the severity of selling the Sefer Torah. A person who's not selling Sefer Torah, Al Pi Shein Tzarach Lo. Even he has no need for it. I mean, he has a Torah, I don't need it. He can't sell it. Yes, Cain. Amar Rav Shimon Ben Yom Leo. I feel Ein Lo Malach. Even a person doesn't have what to eat. Even a person lacks what to eat, you still shouldn't sell the Sefer Torah. And this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. We mean someone who would go without a meal for, I don't remember the quantity of how many days. But if someone's actually starving, so then you can sell it. Umalchus Sefer Torah, obito. Meaning, Ein Rosim Baruch Lo'ov. So he says, a person who sells a Torah or sells his daughter to be a maidservant, even though he's allowed to, will not see any bracha from the money he makes. Okay, so the Gemara is very much discouraging it. V'chein b'mos rehem. We said the Mishnah said the leftovers as well from these purchases. Amar Rava, lo shano ela shemachur betiru. This is only told when he sold the object, but he has money left over. Avagavu betiru mutter. But let's say he collects funding. I want to buy a Torah, and he gets way more than he needed, so leftover money is permitted to be used for anything. Eisvei Abai, so Abai challenged this. B'med rama murim. When do we say that the proceeds must be used to purchase an item of greater sanctity, either that item or of greater sanctity? Shlovatir, when he did not stipulate it. Avatir, if he did stipulate it, afilu duchtia mutter. Then he can even use the funds to hire a duchtia, meaning then it's totally permitted, only when you do stipulate it. Now, we have two problems. Problem number one is Abai is challenging Rava, because Rava is saying that any leftover money automatically can be used for anything, whereas Abai says you have to stipulate it. And he says, if you stipulate it, you can even buy a duchtia. And our second problem is what in the world is a duchtia? Well, don't worry. In a minute, we'll explain. Hey, Chidami, so what's our brisa? If you say he sold the item and leftover money, so if they did stipulate and said it could be used for anything before they collected the money, so what of it? Let's say they sold a shul. So even if you stipulate, who cares? You're selling a shul, and the money therefore has a sanctity. Meaning, the case of the Mishnah was where you raised the money. You raised the money. Or maybe not. We'll have to try not to figure out. But if you sell an item of sanctity, sell a Torah that's leftover money, just because you stipulate, I'm selling this Torah on the condition that any leftover funds I have to purchase, well, Torah's a bad example. I'm selling the shul on the condition that any leftover funds I have after I buy the new shul can go become used for anything, for even a duchsia, whatever that is. Well, why does that work? The point is, it's money coming from the proceeds of a shul. Ella should go over here. Rather, the case is, again, it's actually jumped the gun, where they collected money, and after they purchased, you know, whatever it is, the shul, there's leftover money. And therefore, if you stipulate, then you can use it for anything, whereas if you don't stipulate, then it can only be used for a shul of some of greater sanctity, and that's the machlokas where Rava seemingly says, no, you can use it for anything. Time with Hitiru. The reasons that it can be used for anything is because it's stipulated. Hello, Hitiru. Lo. However, they did not stipulate it, so then you cannot use it for anything. It has to be used. The leftovers has to be used for use of sanctity. And this is all good and well, except for Rava, who seemingly said, no, automatically it can be used for anything. So, Olu Shemach HaTir. So, Brian says, no. Actually, it's a case where they sold, and there was money that was left over, meaning they sold, They sell us the shoal. They buy a new shoal. There's still money left over. And still the stipulation is in effect. Now, how can that be? Ve'echik amar. So, I mean, how can that be? The leftover money is used for anything. After all, it's proceeds coming from a shul. So what you stipulated? The Gemara, I think that's a very good question. So the Brisa actually should be read this way. When is this Brisa true? So this new Shiva Tovah year, Mamad Anshayir. When the seven, we said these trustees did not stipulate in the presence of the townspeople, they could use for anything. This new Shiva Tovah year, Mamad Anshayir, I feel a duch sinayim butter. But when the seven trustees did stipulate, then the proceeds, in fact, do go to Chulin, to be used for anything. You can even buy the Duchsia. Why is it? So we said this yesterday, that the seven Tuvier are kind of like the Abezdin, which has the ability to remove the sanctity from an item. So basically, if seven Tuvier, so we're selling the shul, and they say, and any proceeds left over after you buy the new shul, can be used for anything, so then, in fact, it can be used for anything. Amalei Abai, Lahud Rabbanan, Dahave. Misader Masnisa Kamei Rav Sheshes. If I asked a certain Talmud Chacham who used to say the Brises before Rav Sheshes, he seemed like he was a memory guy. Okay, Heichar Rav Sheshes, Parsha Demasa. What is a Duchsia basically? So he says it's a town courier, someone who used to go around on horseback and the town crier and read, hear ye, and say whatever it may be. Okay, not really sure why that is the one used. Of all cases, let me know if you have an answer. Amar by Hilchah Chai Tzur Mirabanan. Therefore, at Tzur Mirabanan, the Shamalei Milsa Lo Yada Perusha, who hears a word but doesn't know the definition, L'Shul Kamei D'Shiach Kamei Rabanan, should ask if someone who usually is frequently in the presence of rabbis, Lo Yasha Lo Yishamim Leimin Gavra Rabba, because certainly someone who's constantly in the presence of rabbis will have heard every word and they'll be able to define it. Okay. Now, another idea. This is not connected. It has to do with the obligation of an individual's obligation of tzedakah. And an individual's obligation of tzedakah, I'd say, is a civic obligation. When you live as part of the community, it's almost, you could say, tzedakah becomes a tax. And what do you have to give if you're only visiting and there's a tax levied upon everyone to provide and fill the coffers of the charity? Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Meir. Then a year shalchli ir acheres. You have people from one individual, one city, a number of them, go to another city, questlin tzedakah. And while they're there, the town officials tax everyone for charity. No, they have to give the amount. But when they leave, maybe not so imam, they can ask for a refund. Ooh, par nu simba, and you're not iran. And they use that money to support the people of their city. Why is this? So we'll see, because, they don't have to really give it. When you have a tzedakah levied on a city, only people of that city have to give it. You have a number of individuals who are there, it would look bad. Like Mar Sinai, it would look really bad if they're not providing and giving tzedakah. So we say, give it at least an appearance, and afterwards we can give it to you as a refund. When you go home, use that money to tzedakah of your own city to pay your own tzedakah tax where you live. Whereas an individual goes to a city, so they have to, in fact, give the money, and they don't get refunded, and it's distributed to the poor. Okay, why is this? So we say, because when a group of people go, they have their own, they maintain their own identity. They're their own, cloises, they used to have these shuls all over, their own little shul, their own little seaboard in a larger community, whereas an individual gets subsumed as part of the community, and any tax that's given goes to them as well. If you don't go to the user, if you don't declare a fast once, Agave Rav, Chana Bar Chalina of Chol Ben Masa, on Rav Chanina and all the people in the town. So they all kept, and they all, sorry, and Rav Chanina Bar Chanina and all the people in the town came to Rav Chanina to participate in the fast, seemingly to daven, to learn together. Rav Chanina stuck us while they were there. He says, okay, everyone has to give a tax. Yahavu, so they all gave the money. He bought the mess, and they went to leave. Amrullah, they said to him, they said to Rav Chanina, Nivla Lan Marav Nazil, please return our funds. We're a group of people coming to you because of the fast. And therefore, we want our money back because we didn't have to really give it. We only gave it to avoid appearances of impropriety or of marzain. We'll take the money to support our people. Amar Leis, it's them. Tanya, medvar amurim b'she'en sham. When is it that? When are they refunded? When there is not, turn the page, a chavir, a town scholar there, meaning someone who's involved in the community. But if there is a scholar there, like me, tanisim l'chavir, it should be contributed to the people. That scholar should be able to give it to anyone he wants fit. And the rabbi's discretionary fund. Why? Because we assume that if a rabbi asks you for money, he needs it for his discretionary fund to give to individuals in the community, and therefore you don't get a refund. Because everyone is relying on them. People, the rabbi usually knows who needs more than other people, and therefore, since you all came to me and you gave to me, so therefore therefore, and I'm the town scholar. So therefore, even though you're going back to your own city, you don't get a refund. I wish you all a wonderful day.